Closer look at the Supreme Court's decision to strike down key provisions of Arizona's immigration law. Some of the same provisions found in Arizona's law are in Indiana's. Michael Puente has this report.
Unlike Arizona, Indiana isn't anywhere near Mexico, but Hoosier lawmakers last year adopted its own version of a get-tough immigration law modeled after Arizona's. There are some similarities, but also some important differences. The biggest is that Indiana's law does not allow police to arrest immigrants for failing to carry proof of their legal status. The Supreme Court yesterday struck down that provision in Arizona's law. Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller says the court's decision was necessary because
the failure of Congress to reform our immigration statutes over the years has put states in the difficult position of having to seek this guidance from the judicial branch.
Zeller adds he'll need to determine how the court's ruling will affect Indiana's law. Two federal lawsuits are currently challenging Indiana's statute, contending it promotes ethnic profiling of Hispanics. I'm Michael Puente.
An independent candidate for Illinois' 13th congressional district says he's steered clear of the two-party system for 30 years and doesn't see any reason to change now. John Hartman of Edwardsville met the deadline with his nominating petitions to run this fall against Republican Rodney Davis and Democrat David Gill. Hartman registered his campaign website last year, so he says it has nothing to do with Urbana Republican Congressman Tim Johnson's sudden retirement plans. He says ballot access is one motivation for pursuing the seat. With the redrawn 13th district, Hartman notes the state cannot follow the law of getting signatures from 5% of those who voted in the last election.
With the census and the newly drawn district, there is no district to draw back from. So the legislature decided that they thought it should be 5,000 in those cases. So obviously that made it possible for me to get my 8,200 signatures and hand them in yesterday.
Hartman says the current U.S. deficit is a direct result of antagonism between the two major parties and that government needs to restore tax and expense policies that brought a surplus in 1999. He says there are flaws in the Affordable Care Act, but admits it does move toward health care coverage for everyone. Hartman says the U.S. needs to find a way to initiate cost controls that countries like Germany and Japan use for doctor visits. Hartman is the chief financial officer for a St. Louis firm called DNA Polymerase Technology. Governor Pat Quinn today is expected to sign into law the Military Family Licensing Act. The law helps veterans and their spouses transfer their occupational licenses issued in other states to Illinois more easily. First Lady Michelle Obama will attend the signing ceremony at an Illinois National Guard armory in Chicago. The Obama administration's trying to make it easier for military families to sustain teaching, medical, and other careers while moving from state to state. Illinois is the 23rd state to adopt such legislation. New accounting rules for government-run pension funds may only point out some well-known problems. That's according to a board member at the State Pension Program for State University Workers in Illinois. With a live report, here's Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows.
Thank you, Craig. The new rules were approved yesterday by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, or GASB. They apply more stringent rules for underfunded pensions, like Illinois' pension programs, and they require that more conservative assumptions be made about how much interest today's pension assets will be able to generate in order to pay off future obligations. University of Illinois economist Fred Gertz serves on the board of Illinois' State University Retirement System. He says they could have used the new GASB rules a lot earlier.
The changes are welcome, but it would be nice to have them put in place 20 years ago rather than now. It's kind of too late to go back and do some of the things that we did in an ill-advised way two, three decades ago. And that's not going to allow us to go back and make up for our past mistakes.
Gertz is retiring as a U of I faculty member after this week and will be stepping down from the CSRS board. He says the new GASB accounting standards may make the underfunding of Illinois' pension programs more obvious, but he says they won't directly affect pension operations. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
Thank you, Jim. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing expects the city council to take its time before deciding if local bars, truck stops, and fraternal groups can offer video gambling. She says the council first needs to hear arguments on each side instead of letting businesses decide for themselves. In last night's committee of the whole meeting, aldermen heard from owners who call the machines more an entertainment venue without large wins or losses. Tom Fiedler operates Melody Music, and he's a former president of the Illinois Coin Machine Operators Association. He says a lot of businesses won't want the machines since they will require a 21 and over entry age.
I think for the board to decide for these businesses that are trying to survive in your community would be an unfair situation for them. I think they're all very intelligent about whether or not they want to bring gaming in, if they want to expose their patrons to it, and I think they will have that control.
But Alderman Robert Lewis called the 2009 state measure regulating video gambling misguided, impacting the most vulnerable people. If council eventually approves the machines, the businesses and city would each earn a portion of the revenue. They'll likely be operational around the state by August. Champaign and Savoy officials recently opted not to prohibit video gambling. Tonight, the Champaign City Council will hear about the status of a pilot program designed to give mobile food trucks more time to operate in a public space. As Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, operating a food truck in Champaign has its limitations.
Existing regulations in Champaign don't allow many food truck owners to run their business in public places for more than 5 minutes. Zach Ware, who operates a waffle truck, says that can be a real drag for business.
After unpacking all the equipment on my truck to serve one person, I'd have to start packing up, and halfway through packing up again, somebody else would come up to the window and I'd have to unpack everything.
The city kicked off a pilot program earlier this month that expands the five-minute limitation to 2 hours at several different public properties in downtown and campus town. Champaign Assistant Planning Director Rob Kowalski says in other communities, restaurants have complained about mobile food trucks taking away business.
We wanted to get the pilot project going to see exactly how well they operate with the existing bricks and mortar restaurants.
The Champaign City Council will hear about the status of the pilot program on Tuesday night and may discuss how to move forward with it. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
A single-engine plane crashed in a northern Illinois cornfield this morning, killing the only person aboard. Federal Aviation Administration spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham-Corey says the crash occurred several miles southeast of Chicago-Rockford International Airport. Corey says the plane had taken off from DeKalb. The pilot's name has not been released, and there's no word yet on the cause of the crash. The Executive Ethics Commission is levying a $500 fine against a University of Illinois professor who continually refused to complete the state's annual ethics training program, a program the professor still maintains is a waste of time and money. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Once a year, anyone who works for a state government or a public university has to take an online ethics test. But from 2006 through 2009, Lau Van Den Dries refused. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign math professor called the training an Orwellian scheme. It is Big Brother reducing adults to the status of children, he wrote. For that, the state's ethics commission is disciplining him with a $500 fine. The settlement also required him to complete the 2011 test and to agree to take future ones. The Office of Executive Inspector General's top attorney says, as a citizen of an academic community, Van Den Dries should strive to set an example, and this is a start. Van Den Dries, who's in Europe but responded to questions via email, says he hasn't changed his mind. He still says the program's demeaning, but he says with lawyers' fees, the fight became too expensive and time-consuming to continue. Van Den Dries also says his attorney thought continuing to refuse the training could land him in jail. Given that choice, Van Den Dries says he can live with petty tyranny. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
There's more news at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.